And welcome back. Hope you had a good day today as we roll toward the end of another week. We have Iowa behind us, the caucuses, and now we have New Hampshire behind us, a train wreck. As you've noticed from my site and others, there are literally a multitude of complaining editorials, news stories about the, shall we say, huge, as an understatement, discrepancy in the so-called polls before the actual votes were cast. I think it was 50% or more of the votes were tallied by electronic means, otherwise known as Diebold. The rest were counting. 25% were counted by hand. Even the hand count, though, has been found to be, shall we say, off here and there. I think most of you are up on the story, but I wanted to spend an hour with one of the most remarkable men I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. He is world famous. He is featured on the left-hand side of my homepage. Anytime you'd like to go and listen, there's a nearly two-hour video interview with Eustace Mullins. I consider Eustace Mullins to be the most well-informed, truly brilliant man of our times in terms of understanding how the world basically functions. When you watch 2 hours with Eustace Mullins, you'll come away largely changed, I think, in the way you see the world. And if you don't believe what the interview tells you in video format, get his books and read them. His book, The World Order, is a classic. If you can find a copy of it, he's written about vaccines. He's an amazing man, and it's always great to spend a little time with him. So let's welcome back to the program now Eustace Mullins. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm really eager to tell you my reaction to the presidential campaign.
The presidential campaign, or as it may well turn out to be, just a bunch of gangsters playing food fight. They're all on the same bus going to the same location. Let me tell you something, for those of you who don't know, Eustace, hold on just 1 second. This is very important. Barack Obama is being advised by Zbigniew Brzezinski. And I think if you listen to our program last night or know anything at all about Brzezinski's past and present and future plans for the world, you'll know this is not a good sign. Obama is just a puppet. He is about as shallow as some of the cigarette smoke he's seen in public exhaling. We have a picture of that. He's not a substantive man, but Brzezinski is, and Brzezinski has great plans for Mr. Obama. Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani is being advised by some of the most vicious, ruthless, death-dealing neocons of our times, including Norman World War IV, Podhoretz, and Daniel Pipes. So Obama with Brzezinski, Giuliani with Daniel Pipes and Podhoretz, Hillary Clinton's advisor is Richard Holbrook, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Holbrook was advisor, now get this one, to the presidential campaign of Senator John Kerry in 2004. In 2006, Holbrook joined the presidential campaign of Senator Hillary Clinton and has become a top foreign policy advisor for her. He is often being mentioned as a Secretary of State shoo-in in a Hillary Clinton administration, and is likely to be probably the only contender for that position. By the way, Holbrook is also a member of the Board of Directors of the Council on Foreign Relations. So there we've ticked off Obama, Giuliani, and Hillary for you. Now, how about Huckabee? What gangster is advising him? Well, none other than the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, Richard Haass. Richard Haass is president of the CFR. He has held that position for 4 years now. From 1989 to 93, Richard Haass was special assistant to United States President George Herbert Walker Bush. Now, I'm going to stop there. It's kind of making me sick. No big surprise to you, Eustace, but it's quite a cast of thugs, and I think it's pretty disgraceful.
I've been following these people daily for 60 years.
Yeah.
And they never change. They are as predictable as the sun rising.
Yeah. It's kind of funny to watch these top four names in the presidential dog and pony show being handled and advised by these. They're killers, is what they are.
Oh, yes. And John Kerry, who has six $1 million homes through his marriage to the Heinz fortune.
Yeah.
he's going to advise Obama, and so he should tell him the rich man's point of view.
Well, he did today announce, I guess the formal announcement was last night, that he has thrown his support for whatever it's worth, and skull and bone support is always worth something to Barack Obama. I'm just appalled that these truly horrible people, and this is the best America has to offer.
It seems like it's the bottom of the barrel.
Well, that's a very deadly barrel at that, too, Eustace. Now,
yes, it really is. Well, Obama has brought a new direction to the campaign. He's the only young, good-looking person running for office.
It's too bad you didn't get a chance to see the picture I have of him the other day with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Oh, I haven't seen too many pictures of him.
No, you won't find many pictures. I didn't think you did. But you won't find many on the Internet of Barack Obama smoking. Pretty low-class shot. But get the people who are pulling the strings on these alleged candidates, okay?
Oh, yeah, these are puppets. Absolutely puppets. And Huckabee is running as the Christian evangelical people. And
right.
The Christian evangelicals in America are the ones that want us to nuke Iran tomorrow morning.
Well, and don't forget about Obama. He wants us to bomb Pakistan. I mean, these people are all insane, if they have any brains at all.
Well, they're not only insane. Blood and guts don't mean anything to them.
No, in fact, the more blood and guts, the more they seem to enjoy it, if you get our drift here. And if we've been keeping score, George Bush Jr. in the White House has presided over the extermination, the liquidation, the hideous death, the genocide of 1.2 million Iraqi people in the last 4 years. That's all.
Oh, yes, so those are the earliest Christians in the Middle East.
Indeed, indeed. When was the last free and relatively honest election in this country, as you look back, Eustace?
Well, Ezra Pound told me that Calvin Coolidge was the last good president of the United States, and I heard him tell that to many people at the insane asylum while I was visiting him, and I agree with him. Well, of course, Coolidge is a distant cousin of mine. Through our New England connections,
uh-huh.
So I have good feelings towards him anyway.
What was it about Silent Cal that Ezra Pound liked and that you like?
His integrity. He represented that New England rock bottom common sense and personal integrity.
Hmm.
That's what he liked. He said he didn't admire his. He didn't consider him an intellectual giant, but he considered him a very sound man.
Hmm. It's interesting. It's one president we hear very, very little about.
Nothing. And yet he presided over the great credit expansion of the Federal Reserve, which brought out the crash of 29 and the 1932 Depression.
Why did they call him Silent Cal?
Well, he didn't talk nonsense. People seem to want to hear nonsense, and if you don't talk nonsense, they don't want to listen to you.
I see.
See, one thing I want to point out about this campaign is that the people do not really like the candidates.
What the hell is to like about any of them, except Ron Paul?
They don't like them because they don't tell them anything.
Tell them anything?
They're gambling the future of the country on handing it over to these people. And these people offer them nothing. Hillary offers them a few tears, and that seems to be the extent of her contribution.
That was staged, too, in my view.
Of course it was staged.
More, just total,
and
just whole thing
I don't predict any future for her as an actress.
Well said. Okay, so we have Barack Obama, the chain-smoking puppet of Zbigniew Brzezinski. Now, Brzezinski has been around. Of course, he was with Jimmy Carter, that administration.
Well, he's the president, Henry Kissinger, because Kissinger's retired.
Kissinger will never be fully retired, but
he's still got his finger in every pie.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of Brzezinski? He's got a new book out. He's 78 years old. He's clearly trying to anoint Obama as kind of a... I guess a John F. Kennedy of color, in a way.
Yes, it's a poster boy. And John F. Kennedy was the last presidential candidate we had was a sex object. He was a rich playboy, and everybody loved him. He was a pretty good guy.
We also should mention, and we will when we come back, about John Kennedy's election. There was a little chicanery in that one, too.
Oh, yes, sir.
So,
you mean Chicago.
Yes, indeed. Stand by. We'll come back and have Eustace Mullen tell us about how John Kennedy was elected. Even though America loved him, it was a little shady, shall we say. Back in just a minute. I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you're along tonight as we speak with the legendary Eustace Mullins. Talking with Eustace Mullins about the state of affairs in these formerly United States. John Kennedy, probably the most popular president, certainly in the last 100 years, I would think. Even more so than FDR. Off the record, I have no use for FDR whatsoever.
Oh, FDR was a protege of Woodrow Wilson. I publicly described Woodrow Wilson as the greatest mass murderer of history because he promoted 2 world wars.
Yeah, I see World War One. I don't see. How did he promote World War Two?
Well, because Wilson was dead by the time, but his protege, Frank Delano Roosevelt, succeeded him in the president. Elected in 1932.
Right. Right. When we watch history through your eyes and your mind and your analyses, it certainly does take on a different, an amazing focus. John Kennedy's election in 1960 in Chicago. Tell us about that.
Oh, I was living in Chicago at that time, and of course I knew the mafia connections, but there was no question that Kennedy was set up all the way.
And that's how the Sam Giancana mob link and Judith Exner and all the rest of it,
it all fell into place. Sam Giancana was the absolute boss of the mafia.
Mm-hmm. And he and John Kennedy shared the same woman. Now,
yes,
I think
that was a setup because Kennedy could have had plenty of women, and why did he have this... Mafia Kingpin's girl.
Not a good idea.
No.
Okay, so what happened in Chicago was, I guess, the voter rolls contained a lot of, what was it, a lot of dead people voted?
Oh, yes, Chicago. Chicago's famous for voting at least 10% dead people.
I see.
Well, the cemeteries are their most active areas of campaigning.
I see. Do they put polling places in the cemeteries, do they?
No, they just went and got the names.
It's true. And so that's how we got President Kennedy.
It was an open theft because it was absolute robbery.
Right. And we've had since then nothing but horror, murder, death, destruction, depravity, the destruction of the United States. And look where we are now, the Federal Reserve. Bernanke,
oh, yes.
Did you hear what Bernanke said today?
No, what did he say?
The next time we get together, it looks like we may be talking about a further rate increase or decrease. They're talking about cutting the rates down to 3% now in some
countries. Oh, yes. Well, Ron Paul was talking about that on the presidential campaign tonight, and I was going to tell you about that.
What did he say?
Well, he said it's the easy money of policies of the Federal Reserve System, which are creating a recession. See, the first question of each candidate was asked, do you think a recession is coming?
It's already here, but what did they say?
And they all dodged the question.
Uh-huh.
But Ron Paul came out right out openly and said, there is a recession coming simply because of the easy money policies of the Federal Reserve System.
Yes.
Now, he did not say the inflationary policies of the Federal Reserve System. See, I have been publicly criticizing the Federal Reserve all over the world for 60 years because the money is inflationary.
Mm-hmm.
It has no backing, has no worth. And when you print money that has no backing, it's inflationary. And so it's naturally inflationary. And so at least Paul did point out that it was inflationary.
Mm-hmm.
But the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board has always tried to maintain anti-inflation policies during his service as head of the Federal Reserve because he realizes he's producing inflationary money. And you got to be careful. It'll run away with you every time.
Well, if they chop it down to 3%,
very inflationary.
There'll be money all over the place. We're already, and you know this, Eustace, and many of you listening know this, we're already looking at food prices 15 to 20% higher in the last couple of years.
Oh, and yes, because weather and everything.
Weather, but most importantly, diesel fuel. Bought it, it came by truck, and that's the bottom line. And, of course, petroleum is used in unlimited numbers of applications in food production, energy production, and all the rest. So we have here an inflation today. I would say if we wanted to average it out and overall across-the-board inflation, we're between 10 and 15% somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. It's closer to 15.
Yeah, and food is much higher in many cases.
Food and vehicle fuels and everything. And the inflation of the housing market was particularly dangerous because people went out and bought $2 million homes.
And
they didn't even have the money to buy $2 million.
No. Now, here there has to be, at some point, someday, an honest look back at what happened to cause that housing bubble. And I certainly put unethical mortgage brokers who are selling adjustable rate mortgages. But I would not for a minute exclude an awful lot of real estate agents in this country who were motivated by greed. They're parasites, they're scum, and a lot of them are out of work now. And I'm frankly glad to see their karma coming back. I mean, what is this? Every time you wanted to buy a house, you had to pay somebody 6 or 7%. It's ridiculous.
It certainly is, and that is by inflation itself.
On top of it.
Yeah.
Be right back with Eustace Mullins in just a couple minutes. And again, if you can get hold of any of Eustace's books, please do. And do look on the left side of Rents.com for that nearly 2-hour, absolutely riveting interview with Eustace Mullins. Be right back. Okay, back with Eustace. You watched the debate on television this evening, Eustace?
Yes, I did. Ron Paul chimed in several times, and they tried to shut him up every time.
Did they?
Yeah, they cut him off a couple of times.
That's pretty disgusting, isn't it?
It really is, but you could see the hostility of all the candidates to Ron Paul, and my friend writes Larry Patterson at Cincinnati, mm-hmm. who writes the magazine Criminal Politics, mm-hmm. he says that they're already stealing Ron Paul's votes even before the campaign goes any further. And he believes it's all going to be done electronically. And I certainly am not optimistic about Ron Paul winning the election. I don't. The fact that he gets to speak is really a miracle.
Well, I think you've summed it up. Even the fact that he still gets to speak is a miracle. The funny thing is, every news story that I've seen about neighborhoods and campaigning, they're forced to remark about Ron Paul signs everywhere. Or if they don't remark about them, they show them. I mean, you see them all over the place, all over the country, in every suburban villa you can imagine.
He has a loyal following, which cannot be equaled by any other candidate.
No, he's not going to win the nomination.
Oh no chance.
The only possibility would be that he has some clout, and he could try and make a deal with somebody to at least get a campaign plank in there here or there. But that's being optimistic. The situation, as you see it, would be best resolved. How should he run after the convention? As an independent?
Yes, I think you should stay in there as a counselor to one of the senators or something, because...
Should he run for president on an independent campaign platform, an independent party?
Oh, that's practically impossible in this country.
I think it is impossible, but I mean, should he make the effort anyhow? Because he would be a legitimate...
Well, he may make the effort anyway. He may have a little money, and... that might be the best way he can spend it.
I was a story up on my website today, an interesting video clip with Dennis Kucinich. Kucinich actually said that if he were able to successfully garner the nomination, he would ask Ron Paul to be his running mate.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I mean, even though they're not in the same party, he said it doesn't matter.
And Kucinich is universally... Yeah. Portrayed in the press as a kook, you know.
Yeah, well, they love to do that, and they've been trying to...
Yeah, they do that. And really, it makes very good sense every time it talks.
True.
Yeah, I've followed him for some time.
Yeah.
And he means very well. There's no question about it.
He does. I think he's been talked to, shall we say, by the powers that be about far he can go. You get the feeling the guy really wants to do something, but... He's been threatened. That's the sense I have it.
He'll suffer the same fate as Congressman Traficant.
And Senator Wellstone.
Wellstone.
Or whatever. I mean, they can either ruin him or kill him.
Traficant was the worst railroad job.
He's still in prison now, isn't he?
My best friend was his roommate at Alden Woods Prison.
Huh.
And I think they separated him because my friend was too... active politically.
I see. Well, they did railroad Traficant and send him away.
Every word that was a railroad.
Well, so Dennis Kucinich, as a Democrat, said he would pick Ron Paul as his running mate. And he made the point, it was kind of clever, and I've forgotten exactly how he phrased it, but to try to bring it up from my memory, he said...
Well, they would make quite a theme.
He said, internationally, our policies are very close. Nationally, we have a great deal of differences. But he said something to the effect that if you've ever seen a bird fly, you'll notice it has a left wing and a right wing.
That's pretty good.
Was kind of clever.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, well, it's good. I just got this Democratic presidential candidate... This is from Business Wire. Dennis Kucinich, the most outspoken advocate in the presidential field and in Congress for election integrity, paper ballot elections, and campaign finance reform, has sent a letter to the New Hampshire Secretary of State asking for a recount of Tuesday's election because of unexplained disparities between hand-counted ballots and the machine-counted ballots, end quote. And I think this is great, but I'm a little disappointed, frankly, that Ron Paul, almost immediately, at least this morning, should have called for a formal recount and certainly asked for an injunction to stop the certification of the process.
Well, yes, because Larry Patterson has said that they're already stealing votes for Ron Paul through the machines anyway.
Right.
And right. he should be right on top of that.
Right. I agree. When you watch this debate, and I don't watch them, I just can't punish myself that much. I'd rather watch the small edits of Ron Paul that appear later. The people up there, you said, the other candidates, are openly hostile to Ron Paul. This is very interesting. They're showing
Sure. In fact, they wanted to look at him, and they pretend he's not there. It's a very strange thing. I was sitting right in front of the television watching each one of the candidates, and it was a wonderful front row seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some inspiration for what Ron Paul was saying because he gave me the idea of what I should talk to you about.
What are some of the things that that you want to mention that Ron Paul triggered?
Well, I mentioned that the policies of the Federal Reserve are and always have been inflationary because they're printing worthless paper money, which is always inflationary.
Right.
And so he brought that up. He said the easy money policies of the Federal Reserve have brought about the housing crisis. That was absolutely true.
You
and
bet.
Now you say that Bernanke is going to lower the rate again. That's absolutely insane. It contradicts what Ron Paul told the candidates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else did he say tonight?
Well, that was about it. But each one of the candidates was asked the question, do you predict a recession? And, of course, the way to get a recession is to talk yourself into it.
That's
so
true.
That was a wide-open deal. The only thing is the Depression 1932, they didn't have to talk anybody into that because that was all stage managed by the Federal Reserve Board, and I have it in my book, and it's all, quote, official congressional records of investigation of how the Depression came about, and it's all right there in black and white.
That is. It's
a
also...
conspiracy with England to put England back on the gold standard.
All right, very good. Stand by. Back in just a minute. Don't go away. Kucinich, not Ron Paul, unfortunately, has called for a recount in New Hampshire. The political season ahead, obviously, Eustace Mullins, is going to be a pretty disgusting automobile wreck, as it were. It's going
people
to be ugly.
Because of the lack of support for them.
What I don't understand is anyone looking at the vote totals in New Hampshire, can see, you know, what, 150,000 votes cast in the, I've forgotten which number is exact, but who in the heck would vote for these? I mean, has our country been so programmed, so mind-controlled, Eustace, so demoralized, that people actually vote for these creeps?
Well, they're brainwashed. That's what they is. You see, they for most of this year, they have daily published the figures that Hillary Clinton has 89% of the vote, which is total nonsense. But the people have been conditioned to accept that figure.
So it's the age-old trick. Simply repeat something over and over again, and it doesn't take too many over and over agains anymore, and people believe it.
Well, that's a big lie technique. You got to repeat the big lie a lot of times.
Bigger the lie, the easier it is to con people, isn't it?
Well, it's as big a lie as you can think of to say that Hillary has 89% of the vote of the people of this country.
Right.
It's not nonsense.
Again, I go back to the so-called front runners. And Look, ladies and gentlemen, look who their advisors are, please. They're all criminals. They're all gangsters. They're all megalomaniacs, murderers, extortionists, international financial criminals of the first magnitude. It's unbelievable when you look at all this and study it. And we started out the top of the program by naming them. I won't do it again, but all of you who are listening hopefully will remember.
Well, every one of those people is an insider in the Federal Reserve counterfeiting racket. That's the key to the whole situation. Now, when I was doing my research at the Library of Congress, I got revelations every day that were blowing my mind. But my biggest thing that I want to tell your people about right now is the secret of Wall Street. There's a whole secret of Wall Street of manipulating the market. And that is the Open Market Committee, which people don't know anything about, and the Open Market Committee of the Federal Reserve Board members controls the buying and selling of government bonds on the open market. And that buying and selling of the government bonds creates the volume of money on the market that's available for increasing the price of stock causing the price to go down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is the whole secret of Wall Street.
And so
that controls the market.
What do we see here? Let's do a little Eustace Mullins forecast. We see a drawn-out, ugly process until the conventions. A lot of controversy, a lot of claims of fraud, and there will be lots of fraud. You can count on that. There will be hoaxed results. There will be votes siphoned off from Ron Paul. Absolutely. There was a very nasty effort to smear him on the morning of the New Hampshire primary. It was a total BS. There'll be more. This is the ugly machine at its most open and obvious. So we get to the conventions, and the likely candidate, obviously, on the Democrat side will be either Zbigniew Brzezinski's boy or Hillary Clinton. And on the
yeah,
other
it could
side,
go either way right now.
Yeah. Do you see either one of them accepting the second position?
No, I cannot see that.
Too big of egos here.
Yeah. Well, they've focused on this for so many years that the White House is the goal. And Bill Clinton got the White House, and Hillary could not afford to accept anything less.
Will America tolerate 8 more years of the Bush-Clinton cartel?
Oh, my God.
And can America stand it? I don't think so.
It's a gloomy future to bang it in. But the Bush-Clinton cartel is hanging on.
Yeah.
I don't see the weakening there in it whatsoever.
No, and when Bill Clinton stepped forward the other day and said that Barack Obama is the biggest fairy tale he's ever seen in politics, was kind of interesting. Maybe one of the most honest things he's ever said.
Well, it is a fairy tale. He's a kid that comes out of nowhere, and suddenly he's got a candidate for president.
Well, okay. So in either case, we're screwed.
Pardon?
In either case, America is screwed.
Well, they're being screwed every day by the Federal Reserve system, so that's the basis.
Yeah, but that's been going on for over 80 years now.
Yeah, for over 80 years, and it's never changed one iota.
No.
From the time they started in 1914 to the present day, the insiders have been in there doing their thing and making the money. And as I say this, the people who have daily knowledge of the volume of money available for trading on Wall Street absolutely control the price of every stock in this country. And if you had that information, you could become rich overnight. And that's why the secrets of the Open Market Committee are the most secret deliberations of the Federal Reserve Board. And they cannot be released until 12 months. No one can see them.
Hmm. So there's an embargo for a year.
Yeah. Well, that's to maintain the integrity of the stock market.
Integrity and the stock market, those two expressions don't seem to fit together somehow.
And they're trading, they're buying and selling stocks with counterfeit money.
Right. Counterfeit money, money that never existed, doesn't exist now, and never will exist.
No,
it's a joke.
It's as worthless today as when they started printing it in 1914.
When we talk about gold and the obvious control of gold, if gold were allowed to seek its own level, Eustace, in a truly free market, it probably would be up to around $3,000 an ounce by now.
Oh, yes, Patterson says that every day. I just got his paper.
Yeah.
Well, he's looking at 2,800.
Yeah, yeah, I concur. But they're doing everything they can to hold it down. Say again?
He's a gold specialist. He always has been.
Larry Patterson.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, if you have respect for him, we'll take a look at him. Maybe I should get him on the program.
Well, you should, really. But I don't think he does interviews.
Hmm.
In fact, he doesn't like for me to do interviews because he says, what you can say can be misinterpreted. Well, that's certainly true.
Mm-hmm.
But I have never stopped from doing an interview or a lecture because somebody would say that I had said something I never said. And so far, I must say that I've gotten away with it.
Well, you've been standing in the face of incredible adversity for a long time, and you've never wavered, and that's a testimonial to your commitment to this country.
Well, the adversity became a fact of life. I got used to it.
Yeah. Well, it's true. It does become something you expect, and you just deal with it.
Oh, my personal record of the last 20 years, it's just a horror story.
Yeah.
I don't mention it because it's too much to tell people.
Well,
about.
The little bit I know about it is truly heinous. It's horrible.
Well, it's, but I survived. That is amazing.
Well, you know, considering that you might not have, we have to be thankful, I guess.
Well, I keep on working even so. Mm-hmm. I don't always survive, but I keep on working.
Okay, so America, this is going to be a bad year. You can see it, you can smell it.
Oh, this is very bad.
You can taste it. The American public, that portion of it which has awakened and is becoming politically alert, politically activated, motivated, is standing behind Ron Paul. Now, I'm concerned about those people. If Ron Paul, well, he will not get the nomination, but if he just decides to back off at that point and say, okay, I did my best, what's to happen to all those people, Eustace, who have really put their money and their heart into this thing, thinking that they had a chance to turn this country around through the legal balloting process?
Well, he was an opportunity, but I looked at Ron Paul on television. He looked so drawn that I could hardly recognize him.
Tired?
He must have had a terrible strain.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was really shocked at it when I looked at it tonight, because I've known him for 40 years. And when I first knew him, he was a very young, vigorous man. He didn't look anything like this.
Well, I think just going through the New Hampshire outrage and all the pressure being put on him now to go to court, get an injunction and all the rest of it, what do you do? Do you mess with New Hampshire if you were advising him, or do you just go on to the next one? What do you do?
Well, I think he's going to go on because he's committed to this.
Well, I mean, do you go back and do a recount or call for a recount, or do you look to Michigan and go to the next primary and just forget it?
Well, you know what they say when you ask for a recount? That's sour grapes.
I know that what they say, but in this case,
they dismiss it.
In this case, it's a patriotic imperative that somebody does, and Dennis Kucinich has, and that's good. So
yes, he has that.
What would you like to say? We have just a minute left, Eustace, for this visit. Anything you want to add?
No, I've given you the secret of Wall Street, which is the Open Market Committee, and that is what spark plugs this whole economy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Ron Paul brought up the inflationary policies of the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
And that is what's keeping the Iraq war going. You know, it costs $7 billion a day, and the Federal Reserve only prints $500 million a day. So the rest of that money is borrowed. It's debt money. So it's an incongruous situation.
I see.
We're spending $7 billion to fight a war that we have no goal in.
Well, and the war is lost. It's over. It was over before we started it. It was over before we began it. Eustace, thank you for being here. I will call you again in a few weeks, and I'd like to get another hour with you if you can do it.
Yes, I can do that. I'm going to keep following the situation.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much, my friend. And know that your interview is up on my website, and lots of people are looking at it.
Oh, I'm getting letters from people every day.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that.
Being on your show.
Very glad.
It's a very good response.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Take good care.
All right. Good night.
Good night. The legendary Eustace Mullins. All right. We'll be back.